Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you are interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Good morning, church. Oh, so awesome to see many of you in so many beautiful faces. And thank God it's the lens of grace. Just kidding. Anyway, took a little bit. For those who are watching online also, thankfully I can't see your face. If you're like me, because sometimes I don't do my hair before I stream, so, you know. But no, just want to thank everyone for those who are joining us for worship also online, you know, on our second part of our Holy Spirit series, which I'm excited to speak on. And in preparation for this morning's message, I was actually looking back on my past, I don't know, 3-4 months where I had been asked to either officiate or be part of 3 weddings and a funeral. And in speaking with the families involved, speaking with the children, I got to understand, especially me as a father, that the greatest gift that a father can give, or the greatest gift a parent could give his children or her children, there's none greater than the presence. To be present when that child draws its first breaths, present when they take their first steps, present on the first days of school that are so anxious for them, present for the first time they're behind the wheel, which is so anxious for the parent, present when they walk down the aisle, whether the parent is there in person or not. And it's the parent's presence, it's the father's presence that goes long with them after they have left the home or we have left this earth. At the age of 45, I still feel, and my dad, I thank God that I still have my dad with me, but he lives over 1,200 miles away down in the southern tip of Texas. And there's times that I'm working under my car, changing the brakes, when I'm mumbling and grumbling and, you know, tearing up my knuckles. And I hear my dad, and I could feel my dad's presence right next to me. And he used to say things like, no sabes cuánto puedes lograr hasta que lo intentas. He goes, you don't know how much you could accomplish until you try. He goes, o dale hijo y dale hasta que ya no puedes. He goes, or just do it until you can't do it anymore, and you'll just surprise yourself. And so much more so is God's presence with us. So much more is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. That at no moment since we place our trust in Christ and what he has done for us as our Savior, has the child of God ever been alone or helpless or defenseless? And that his absolute assurance to us, his children, is this indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So since this message is pretty scripture heavy, and I'm making it a little easier for those note takers and fact checkers, we've created a YouVersion app event. So if you were to go on YouVersion and look up events, Warsaw Community Church should pop up right away, and you'll see today's message. And I have more scripture that I may be paraphrasing or quoting in there. But for those who are here and taking notes, we'll turn to scripture to be able to understand the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit by looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. So in order to grasp the magnitude of God's precious gift of his Spirit to his children, I'm going to ask you to turn our scriptures to the very beginning. So either on your app, in your Bibles, or on the screen, follow me along Genesis chapter 1, 1 and 2 to see where it begins. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation, and this is what the Word of God says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So let's take a peek at the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it would be virtually impossible for me to give us an exhausted list of the work of the Holy Spirit, because from creation to the early church age to today, He is active and present and working. But I do want to highlight some of the things that He did, does, and continues to do, beginning with that is the Holy Spirit that gives and sustains new life. The physical creation of the universe and all the life that exists on earth is attributed to the Spirit of God. He is the third person of the Trinity, the Lord and giver of life. In the second verse of Genesis, in the second verse of our Bibles, it is the Spirit of God, says, was hovering. Some translations may say fluttering or moving. Others say brooding over the surface of the waters. And this word hover is the same primitive word used in Deuteronomy chapter 32, 11, that says, like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young. So the Holy Spirit, when it says He hovered over the waters of the earth, it is this high degree of care. It is like an eagle concerned with the actions to awaken life in her nestlings. So since the beginning, the Holy Spirit is present and active with God the Father and God the Son in bringing new life to earth. The psalmist writes and describes the work of the Holy Spirit in Psalms 104. The first 10 verses, he describes how God created earth and sky, and he uses the imagery and vividry of this. But then from verse 10 and on, he explains how the Holy Spirit, how God sustains it. It says, you make the springs pour water into ravines, so streams gush down from the mountains. They provide water for all the animals, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. You send rain on the mountains from your heavenly home, and you fill the earth with the fruit of your labor. You cause grass to grow for the cattle. You cause plants to grow for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil as lotion for their skin, and bread to give them strength. The trees of the Lord are well cared for, the cedars of Lebanon that He planted. There the birds make their nest and the storks make their homes in the firs. High in the mountains are pastures for the wild goats, and rocks form a refuge for the rock badgers. And verse 30 says, when you send your Spirit, new life is born to replenish all the living on the earth. Honestly, if the psalmist was sitting on the tailgate of a Chevy Silverado with his pet dog, he has the making of a great country song. That all good things come from God, but not only that, but He also sustains everything on earth. He is the giver and sustainer. And just like the Holy Spirit was active in creation and sustaining life on earth, it is also the Holy Spirit that gives and sustains new spiritual life to those in Christ. When Nicodemus, a religious leader, comes to Jesus in the dark, in the cover of darkness at night, to ask more about Him, Jesus starts to explain to him what it means to be born again. And Nicodemus couldn't really grasp that concept. So Jesus says in John chapter 3, 6, see, humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. Romans 8, 2, Paul writes, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So not only is the Holy Spirit, not only through the Holy Spirit do we receive this new life, but we also receive the power over sin and the power over death. And this is something that no pastor, no preacher, no priest, no politician can give. that it only comes from God, the Holy Spirit, who the giver and sustainer of life. It is also the Holy Spirit that guides us and convicts us of our sin. Last week, Nick did an awesome job laying out the foundation for this series. And he tells us and he reminds us not what the Holy Spirit is, but who is the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is a person. But Nick also mentions the pitfalls when we allow the Holy Spirit to not be the host of the party, as he put it. And there are many churches that treat the Holy Spirit like Walt Disney treats their stand-in character, Bruno. Either we silencio him or we just don't speak about Bruno. And from Pentecostals to Baptists and the denominations in between, we like to put the Holy Spirit in a little box. And we limit the Holy Spirit to certain classes of Christians. Or we limit the work of the Holy Spirit to the four walls of the church. But it was outside the four walls of the church that many, if not all of us, were drawn to Christ. It was and is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin and draws us to the need of a Savior while we were still yet sinners. John 16, 8 and 13. Jesus is having this discourse with his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, "And when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. And when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard." And this Greek word that Jesus used to convict means to convince someone of the truth. It is to cross-examine or to expose or to prove. The Holy Spirit acts as a prosecuting attorney, not only exposing our sin, but he also convicts us and convinces us of the need of a Savior. And there is no amount of pleading, there is no amount of finger-pointing that we could do that draws and brings conviction of sin unless the Holy Spirit is already at work in the heart of the sinner. And long before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, he has been at work and continues to be at work in the hearts of man. Just to highlight, too, when the prophet Nathan came and confronted David after David had sinned, had fallen in adultery with Bathsheba, David cries out and lament in Psalms 41, 4 and 11 says, "Against you and you alone I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You have proven right what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." When the prophet Isaiah stood in the presence of God in all of his glory, the man of God recognizes his own sinfulness in Isaiah 6, verse 5. He says, "Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army." And just as the Holy Spirit convicted David and Isaiah and many more before, it was the Holy Spirit that convicted and continues to convict me of my sins, in my downfalls, in my shortcomings. And he exposes my sins and convicts me that outside and apart from God, I am a dead man walking. And that there is no access to God and there is no life in God and with God except through Christ Jesus. And once a sinner awakens to this, then it is the Holy Spirit that points them to Jesus, the one and only sinner, the Savior. So our third point there is that he testifies of Jesus and indwells in the believer. Now, I don't know about y'all, if I could say that, or is it yous? But sometimes, to be honest, sometimes I still do find myself dragging through the Old Testament, reading the books of the law with its codes and symbols and sacrifices, reading poetry, which I wasn't really good at. I still have a book of Robert Frost that I never cracked open, but it looks good on my desk. And as a person who has a bit of a tension issue, I mean, I would enjoy the vivid conquests of the judges and the kings, but I would look forward and go, can we get to the good part? Can we get to Jesus? Can we get to the grace and the forgiveness and the miracles? But as I continue to grow in God's word, and I say that in the present tense, I discover that Jesus' death and resurrection and forgiveness of sin is the sole object of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. That the Word of God is one story inspired by one Spirit and culminates in one person, the Son of God. That from beginning to end, from cover to cover, all of Scripture points to and testifies of Jesus. And John chapter 5, 39 and 40, Jesus is exhorting the Jewish leaders and he explains to them this. He says, you search scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, it is the Holy Spirit that moved the prophets to pen the word of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit chose to write one book using over 40 authors in a span of 1,500 years to point to and testify of God's redeeming love in his Son, Christ Jesus. And that when we come to Jesus alone, by faith alone, then we become recipients and vessels of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit said to come or come along or fall upon specific individuals for specific tasks. Throughout the Old Testament, we see how the Holy Spirit was with Moses and with Joshua and mightily with David. We see the Holy Spirit was and what would come and go upon judges and kings like Samson and Saul, and that he would work and give word of revelation to the prophets Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel to encourage and remind Israel of the one true God. And this dwelling of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was not only specific, but it was limited. It was never described as something that was permanent. It was never an indwelling, but a dwelling with. And all that changes when Jesus ascends up to heaven and he sends down the Advocate. In John 14, 16, since the miracle of Pentecost, there's this indwelling. It is God's fulfilled promise to never forsake us. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, one who will never leave you. Not only that, but in 1 Corinthians 16, 19, says that we are this vessel, we are this temple. It says, do you not realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. And there is this significance to the image of the temple. Because in the ancient world, it was the temple that people would come from far and wide to seek the presence of God. It was probably about 3 months ago, speaking on Life on Mission, where I brought our attention to the eunuch who traveled from Ethiopia to be in the presence of God. And here now, since Pentecost, the believer, those in Christ, we become this temple of the Holy Spirit. Now we have the presence of God indwelling in us, not only to walk with us, but so that we could then take God and the knowledge of God to the ends of the earth. Yes, this is what the Holy Spirit does. It is this permanent indwelling that takes place the moment that we come to Christ by faith. It is the greatest gift that God could give his children. It is a gift that gives and sustains life. It is a gift that guides and convicts us. It is a gift that points us to Jesus, and a gift that indwells permanently. Now, since I do have some time left over, I know next week and the following week, Danny and Aaron Kristenberry would be speaking more into this presence in the life of the Christian, this presence in the life of the church. But I want to give a little peek to what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The indwelling is permanent. It seals and secures us as God's children. But yet in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, we are commanded, not suggested. It is an imperative. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that would ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And many confuse the filling of the Holy Spirit as getting more of the Holy Spirit. That if I could get more of the Holy Spirit, then I could do more for him. And I love what Dr. Stanley Toussaint, he's a professor or was, I'm not sure if he still is or not, but at the Dallas Theological Seminary, about 15 years ago, he spoke at a chapel. And he says, you don't get a leg of the Holy Spirit at conversion, and you don't get an arm of the Holy Spirit when you get baptized, and you don't get a foot and a hand every time you come to the altar. You get all of the Holy Spirit when you come to Christ by faith. You get the whole package of the Holy Spirit. He says, it's not about getting more of the Holy Spirit, but rather the Holy Spirit getting more of us. Amen. Now, I have a picture of what used to be my car. It's a 1970 Ford Mustang. It was the first car that I purchased with my own money. Yeah, I know. Her. 1970 Ford Mustang with a 351 Cleveland engine, four-barrel carburetor. Those who know, know. I know the older men's eyes just lit up. 300 horses under the hood. 380 pounds of torque. I'm speaking to the men here, right? 380 pounds of torque in the rear wheels. Man, it had glass pack mufflers, those cherry bomb mufflers. The police knew when I was in town. Because as I go through downtown, I mean, I could make any car's alarm go off just by revving it up. One day I took this car down to Texas with my dad on a road trip. Man, I have memories. And he stayed at the house, and I decided to go cruising down Harlingen, Texas, is where we're from. And I took Tyler Avenue. That avenue just runs one direction. Goes from west to east, eastbound. And I'm there, and it's in the evening. The streets are not too busy. And as I'm driving, I come to a red light, and here pulls up next to me a little whiny four-cylinder Honda Civic. And my muffler is trembling, and you could hear this roar, and I floor it, and this little Honda Civic. And the light turns green, and I rev it. Then it turns green, and I floor it, and this Honda Civic leaves me in the dust. I forgot to engage it in gear. All this power, all this muscle, all this noise, and I did not tap into the power that resided under the hood. As a charismatic tongue-speaking believer myself, I could attest that being filled with the Holy Spirit has less to do with what happens during Sunday worship and more to do with engaging with the Holy Spirit in the power that resides under the hood. that being filled with the Holy Spirit has less to do with the noise that we produce and more with the joyful submission to God in all things. That is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not about getting more of Him, but Him getting more of us. And the mark of a Spirit-filled life, a mark of a Spirit-filled church, is one that joyfully points to Jesus and where He is exalted over all, above all, and in all. That my neighbors know in what direction I point people to. That while I'm at the marketplace, that my speech reflects the Spirit of God. That what I type on the keyboard testifies and points to the God that resides within. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand, and actually I have a couple of minutes left over. Look at that. Some of y'all will be really happy with that. But before I dismiss, just want to let you know that with this is our busy season at the church, so do not forget to pick up the pamphlet or brochure on the way out. It is the What's Going On at WCC. It has all the information over the next couple of weeks and months. Also, please check out the information tables. We have growth groups outside. We have Wyoming out there talking about how we could get plugged in and tapping in to that power that resides within us. But let me pray over you as we dismiss. Father God, we just thank you for this wonderful time. We thank you for a moment that we've had of worship to exalt you through song, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for your word that speaks to us, that it is your Holy Spirit that resides in us, that convicts us, Lord God, but not just to leave us in the dust, Father, but also to guide us to walk in your ways and to empower us, Lord God, to fulfill what you have called us to do. Lord, at this moment, I just ask that you go with us, Lord, that we have a blessed week as we walk into our jobs tomorrow morning, as we walk into the marketplace, or as we play ball with our children or grandchildren or nephews and nieces. This we ask in your beautiful name, in the name of Jesus, the church says, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.